Is it true of a person in Christ that you are rotten at the core? Of course not. If anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old has passed away. Not will pass away, it has passed away. The new has come.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I think you're hitting on something so important here. Sometimes we can hear Bible teaching that says that you are just an absolute sinner, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Rotten at the core, we can be tempted to believe that. Other times you may hear something along the lines of, well, if you know Christ now, you're without sin. Mm. You know, you're so holy that you're not going to sin anymore. And neither is really true. We live in this tension of you are a new creation, but one who still does battle with sin.
That's right. And that's why it's really important to get hold of not only one truth in the Bible, but the complementary truths in the Bible. So the great truth of justification that I think many Christians grasp well, you know, that the righteousness of Christ is draped over me and that God sees me in Christ. That's a marvelous truth that speaks of our forgiveness. But if you only have that truth of being draped in the righteousness of Christ, you're kind of left with the feeling of what's underneath the drape. You know, and that's where the rotten at the core thing comes from. Am I still basically as I was? No, there's another great truth. We are born again. We have the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And you make the point well, Steve, that even as those who are born again, there's still the pull of the flesh. We live this life by faith in the Son of God, and we're not yet in his presence, and the glory of the Lord is not yet seen in us, but it will be. Yeah. One day what's at the heart of us is going to be the whole of us, and we will be like Christ.
Well, that's a great truth for us to understand. So let's look at this further from Romans chapter 8 as we begin a message entitled, Rescued from Frustration. Here's Pastor Colin.
This is the third week in our short series called Rescued, and if you've not been here before and you want just to pick up on it, the title comes from chapter 7 of Romans in verse 24, where Paul is talking about his own struggle with sin, the struggle that every human being experiences, and he says, "O wretched man that I am, who will rescue me?" And really, Romans 8 is the answer to that question. He gives us the headline straight away at the end of Romans chapter 7. He says the answer is Jesus Christ. But Romans 8 is really telling us how Jesus Christ accomplishes this rescue, what he actually does. And we've been tracing it and seeing that as we move through this marvelous chapter of the Bible, it is just increasingly wonderful. A quick review of what we've seen so far. First, Christ removes the condemnation of sin's penalty. God sent his Son into the world. Christ became the sin offering. If you're in Christ, you can truly say that God has passed the condemnation for your sin onto his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible calls this wonderful gift justification. Your sins are forgiven. Your eternal future is secure. And if justification were everything that God gave to us in the gospel, it would be marvelous. But we've been seeing that it's even better. Because not only does Christ remove the condemnation of sin's penalty, Christ breaks the condemnation of sin's power. We saw that he sends his Spirit, that the Holy Spirit enters the life of every believer, bringing new power, new resources, new desire, new energy, new direction. God does not leave you when you come to be in Christ as a slave to the passions of your sinful nature. Sin is still your enemy, but it is no longer your master. You're now in a position to act and to fight, and the power of the Holy Spirit is for you and with you. In Christ, you are a new creation. Your mind is set on what the Spirit desires. And the Bible calls this not justification, but sanctification. And if we were to put these two together, justification and sanctification, the gospel would be double marvelous. But you're getting the feel of this now. But it's even better. Okay. And we saw last week that not only does God do these things in Christ, the Father adopts us. When you come into faith in Jesus Christ, you are adopted into the family of God. We asked the question last week, why then does Jesus Christ save us? What does he want to bring us into? And we saw that the ultimate purpose of God's great rescue is that his people should rejoice in his love forever. Forever. God wants you to flourish in his love, to be changed by it, and to become all that he redeemed you to be in it. And we saw that it is the special work of the Holy Spirit to convince us that the Father really loves us, because we find that by nature very difficult to believe. And so through the Holy Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. We do that in our worship, and we do that in our pain, drawing comfort and strength from his love, knowing that we shall soon enter into our inheritance, which is ours as heirs of God in Jesus Christ. And if you put these three together, justification, the removing of sin's penalty, sanctification, the breaking of sin's power, adoption, God making us his children forever, adopting us into his family. If you put these three together, the gospel is triple marvelous. And you know what I'm going to say next. But it's even better. You say, what could top that? Well, when God completes the work that he has already begun in your life in Jesus Christ, a unique reflection of the glory of God will be seen in you. A unique reflection, like light coming off each facet of a diamond, having its own glory, there will be a unique reflection of the glory of Jesus Christ in every one of his children. The Bible calls this glorification. And if you can get this framework in your mind, you'll have a picture, really, of what God's rescue really looks like, what salvation is all about. And you'll see this theme of the glory that God bestows on his children running right throughout Romans 8. For example, verse 30, see where it goes. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, what did he do? He also glorified. Or verse 18 and 19, I consider, Paul says, that the present sufferings of this world, they're not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Glory in us. Or verse 21, the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and the creation is going to be brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Now, this then is our marvelous theme today, and I want to make four observations about the glorious freedom that Paul speaks about here. First of all, then, let's think about that freedom displayed. In verse 18, Paul says, the sons of God will be revealed. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectations for what? The creation's waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Paul's talking now then about something very specific that's going to happen in the future. And here's what it is. The sons of God are going to be revealed. The sons of God, that's us. That is those who have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, come to know him as Savior and Lord. If you look back at verse 14, sons of God is the way that Paul describes ordinary Christian believers. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Why? Because we are adopted, as we saw just last week, into God's wonderful family. And on the last day, the day is coming when the sons of God are going to be revealed. Now, let's pause and ask this question. How do you feel, instinctively, how do you feel about the thought of you being revealed? Now, you see, I think that perhaps many of us, as a first reaction, will think, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't like the sound of this. If people knew who I really am, they wouldn't like me. So I don't want people knowing who I really am. I don't really want to be revealed. Maybe you feel that at the deepest level of your life, right down at the core, maybe you feel that at the deepest level you are fundamentally rotten, and therefore that you would not want to be revealed. And that is a very natural reaction. Because, of course, the Bible makes it clear that by nature, we are all rotten at the core. That is why we need a Savior. That is why the rescue had to happen. That is why God sent His Son into the world. But is it true of a person in Christ that you are rotten at the core? Of course not. If anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old has passed away. Not will pass away, it has passed away. The new has come. There may be, and doubtless are, many things that are rotten in your life, but if you are in Christ, you are a new person at the core. That's what it means to be born again. And one day, what you really are will be revealed. What is at the heart of you will become the whole of you. That's what glorification is all about. That's why Paul says in verse 18, I consider that the present sufferings that we have are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Notice that in us, not just to us, in us. It's not just that when you arrive in heaven, you will be in Christ's glory. It's that when you arrive in heaven, Christ's glory will be in you, the glory that will be revealed in us. When we see Him, we will be like Him. Now, of course, you can't see this glory in yourself. I can't see it in myself yet, because it is by faith that we know that we are new creations. And the world doesn't see it. The world looks at you, looks at me, and all it wants to do is point out our failings and our faults, and there are many. My guess is that even the angels can't see the glory in you yet, because they're trying to puzzle out how this extraordinary salvation of human beings can actually work. They cannot fully comprehend it, the Bible tells us. But the day is coming, Paul says here, when who you are in Jesus Christ will be revealed, and you will see it. You will see the full extent of God's saving work in your own life, and the angels will see it, and all heaven will rejoice in it. C.S. Lewis had a way of putting things very vividly, and he put it like this. He said, if you could see the glory that will one day be revealed in the Christian sitting next to you. Have a look at the Christian sitting next to you. And if you're not yet a Christian, by the time this morning's over, I hope you will be putting your trust in Christ. I'm serious. You don't want to miss out on this. But Lewis said, if you could see the glory that will one day be revealed in the Christian sitting next to you, you would be seriously tempted to fall down in front of them right now and worship. The glory that will be revealed in us. Glorification. So Paul says, hey, however hard it is for you to be a Christian, whatever your sufferings right now in this world, whatever you're contending with on this Sunday morning, however hard it is for you to live with integrity, whatever it costs you, however tough your struggle against sin, whatever the pressure in your life because of following Jesus Christ, that's nothing in comparison with this glory that is going to be revealed in you.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible in a program called Rescued from Frustration. We're going to get back to this message from Pastor Colin in just a moment. But if you ever miss a broadcast, you can always come to our website and you can listen online. You can download an MP3 for free or simply stream the program through your computer or mobile device. You can also listen on the go if you're podcasting the program or if you have the Unlocking the Bible app. Both of those are free, and it really makes it convenient for you to connect with Pastor Colin's teaching whenever it fits your schedule. You'll find those links as well at unlockingthebible.org. All right, back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Do you know, to live a Christian life wisely, you really only need to know two things. One is you need to know who God is, and the other is you need to know who you are. And if we just focus in on the second, because this is very important, you need to know who you are. And you can boil that, the Bible's teaching about who you are, really down to two very simple statements. Let me give them to you. I find this helpful. By nature, I was rotten at the core. I say, that is why I came to Christ. That is why you need to come to Christ if you have not done so already. I need a Savior because of who I was by nature. Who needs a Savior if you're already good? But when you see that sin is at the very core of your nature, then you will come to Jesus Christ. When you see that, and of course this is why God gave us the law in the Old Testament, because when you look at what God's holiness really looks like as it's reflected in his law, it's not long if you're really taking that seriously before you say, I'm nowhere near. I need a Savior. That's why he gave us the law. And when you see it, you will come to Christ. By nature, I was rotten at the core. Number two, in Christ, I am a new creation. And you need to know this. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. The sinful nature is not what you are. The sinful nature is what you are fighting against. Now, you need to know that you are a new person in Christ, because if you believe that fundamentally you are a loser, you will live like a loser. But if you know and believe by faith and have come to grasp and to see that in Christ you are a new creation, you will live like a new creation. The very heart of living the Christian life is not pretending to be something you're not. That's Phariseeism and hypocrisy. The heart of being a Christian is to be who you are. When you sin, you're doing what's foreign to a child of God, which is what you are if you are in Christ. Being who you are in Christ, and one day his glory will be revealed in you. Isn't that wonderful truth? Freedom displayed, the sons of God will be revealed. Here's the second thing, freedom extended. God's children will come into glorious freedom. Now, we see this in verse 21. The creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into what? The glorious freedom of the children of God. As we celebrate the gift of freedom and we thank God for it, and we enjoy the blessings of freedom in so many ways, but not always. Not always. See, we experience the frustration of the bondage to decay in our own flesh. Anyone here got decaying teeth? Anyone this morning, high cholesterol? Loss of muscle tone, aching bones, wrinkling skin. An old guy once wrote the ditty, my back is all sore, and my knees are all bent, and my get up and go has got up and went. We are not yet free from sin or failure or sickness or disabilities, or accidents, or suffering, or pain, or sorrow, or enemies, or danger, or disasters, or death. And in Romans chapter 8, Jesus Christ promises a greater freedom than can ever be known at any time or in any place in this world. That's why he calls it in verse 21 a glorious freedom. Because all of the freedom that we taste and enjoy and thank God for today is only a taste of the much greater freedom, the glorious freedom that is promised to the children of God. We're talking here about freedom from sin and sickness and suffering, freedom from fear and failure and frustration, freedom from dangers and disasters and death. And you will enjoy this freedom, Paul is saying, not only in your redeemed soul, but in your resurrected body, which is why in verse 23 he says, we eagerly await for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So he's making it clear to us that in this extended freedom, God's rescue is much more than saving your soul. It is redeeming your life, body, soul, and spirit. Everything that you are will be redeemed and made perfect and adapted for eternity and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And, says Paul, verse 24, it is in this hope, that is the hope of an even greater and more glorious freedom, a fuller life, that you were saved. See, many Christians have the idea that the future, however wonderful that the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for us, is really a kind of half-life. But the glorious freedom of the children of God is not a compensation for those who missed out on life here. It is not a half-life. It is not a disembodied life. It is the fulfillment of the purpose for which you were created, and you were created a body-soul unity. And it is the purpose for which you were redeemed, and it is pointed to by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants you to know this and live in this hope now.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Rescued from Frustration. We're going to have to pause right here, but we'll continue this message next time. Now, this message was originally part of a series simply called Rescued, but we were curious, what are the messages that you've tuned in for, the broadcasts that you went back and listened to again, the messages that you ordered, or those that you went online and streamed? And so we looked back over the past 12 months, and we found that this is one of the top 10 messages. We've actually taken all 10 of those, and we put them in a series called Listener Favorites. Being a listener-supported broadcast, we do depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station, but we want to send you a copy of this series, Listener Favorites, as you give a gift of any amount and support the ministry this month. And Colin, I think it's kind of interesting to look through the different titles and topics that have made this series. One really doesn't surprise me too much. It's a message called Act on What You Know, Leave the Rest to God.
Yeah, that's a message on one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament scripture, Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. It's an easy one to remember. And it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. You know, that's a really important principle. There are some things that God has kept secret and other things that God has revealed. I mean, some of the things that he's kept secret, the things we don't know. I mean, what is your future? What is the future for your children? Which loved ones that you're praying for will come to Christ? What will tomorrow hold? I mean, there are so many things that we don't know because God has kept them secret, and we walk by faith and not by sight. But then there are other things that God has revealed. And what he's revealed is given to us so that we are able to walk by faith until faith is turned to sight. So, Steve, I'm thrilled that this message is one that has proved useful to others. It's a marvelous principle that we walk by faith in what God has kept secret because we have what God has revealed.
Well, the message is called Act on What You Know, Leave the Rest to God. And this is one of the most listened to messages of this past year. We've taken it and the other top nine and put them together in a series, Listener Favorites. We'd love to send you a copy as you give a financial gift of any amount this month. Give online at unlockingthebible.org or when you call us at 1-866-865-6253. That might be easier to remember as 1-866-UNLOCKED, or again, our website, unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. What comes to mind when you think about heaven? Discover how the picture in your mind will shape the way you live. That's on the next Unlocking the Bible.